Why, when Yaakov gave a bracha to Menashe and Ephraim, Menashe was the older one, he should have gotten the right hand. Ephraim is the younger one, he should have gotten the left hand. But Yaakov instead, he put the right hand on Ephraim, even though Ephraim is younger. And the left hand went on Menashe, even though he was older. Why did Yaakov do this? I'm going to explain now in this story about Yehoshua. Now, Yehoshua was a big tzaddik. He was the leader. He was the leader of the Yidden after Moshe Rabbeinu, and he came from Ephraim. And he was such a big tzaddik. That's why, because Yaakov with Ruach HaKodesh, he knew that from Ephraim is going to come Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun. This is why he gave the bigger bracha to Yehoshua. Now, what did Yehoshua do that was so special? First of all, of course, he was the one that led the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. He took over after Moshe Rabbeinu. But then there's this special thing that he did, and I'm going to tell you this story now. Who's ready for the Maisa? Okay. Akinolach, the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim. We know the whole Maisa of Pesach and what happened. And there's Kriyas Yamsuf, we know what happened. And the Goyim in Eretz Canaan, the 31 Goyim, all the different kinds of Goyim that were in Eretz Israel, in Eretz Canaan, they heard the Yidden are coming. And they knew that the Yidden are going to come into Eretz Canaan and fight with them and chase them out. Many of the Goyim got afraid. Now, there was a people called the Girgashi. They were so afraid of the Yidden, they packed up their suitcases and they ran away. But other Goyim, most of the other Goyim over there, were very chutzpahdik, and they said, we'll fight the Yidden, we'll win the Yidden, we don't believe in Hashem, and we're not going to let the Yidden come into Eretz Canaan. Now, there was a certain place called Givoin. The people over there were called the Givoinim. One night, the Givoinim made a meeting in their town, and the Givoinim said like this, how do we feel about the Yidden coming? Are we afraid of the Yidden? Are we not afraid? Because everybody was talking different. Some people said they're afraid, some people said not afraid. And the leader of the town got up and he said, look, let's not fool ourselves. In Mitzrayim, there happened 10 makos, big miracles. And then there came the Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Mitzrim got drowned in the Yamsuf, and the Yidden went out with more miracles. And the Yidden got the Torah by Har Sinai. All of these things, we've heard the news about this. We see that the Yidden have a special God, Hashem. How can we close our eyes and say that this is not something special and something with a big koyach, like all of the other neighbors around us? They say, it's nothing. Who are we fooling? Why should we fight the Yidden when they come if Hashem is fighting for them? But another one of the people in the meeting said, what are we going to do? If we run away, by now, the other neighbors around in the other cities, they are not going to let anybody run away. They said, you run away? You run away from the Jews? You scaredy cats from the Jews? We're not going to let you run away. We're going to make you stay and fight. Now, to run away, we can't, because the neighbors around in the other cities are going to see us running away, and they'll get angry at us for being afraid of the Jews, and they're going to, Chas v'Shalom, start with us fights. To stay here and fight the Jews, we know we're going to lose, because Hashem is fighting for them. We can't run away, and we can't stay, so what are we going to do? All of a sudden, one of the Givoinim got a good idea. Let's make a trick. Let's make a trick on the Jews. And that way, we could stay here Actually, it's going to be a trick on the neighbors also, in the other cities. We'll do such a thing that nothing will happen to us when the Yidden come. And our neighbors will not start up with us, and the Yidden will not start up with us. Okay, this is what they did. Listen to their plan. The Givonim, they got dressed up in traveling clothes. Like people that travel, they wear certain clothes when they travel, when they ride their camels and their donkeys. And they got dressed up in their traveling clothes, and they packed up things on their donkeys and on their camels, just like they're traveling, like they're going. Many of the men went out now on the camels and the donkeys, and they went out in the desert, and they sprinkled sand all over themselves to make it look like they've been traveling a long time, like they're coming from far away. And now they're going traveling in the desert on their donkeys and on their camels, and they went all the way to where the Yidden were in the Midbar. Now, all of a sudden the Yidden see all these camels and donkeys in the desert and all these people riding. Who is this? Who are these people over here? And now, the leaders of the Givonim, they went over to the Yidden, and they said, "We would like to speak to Yehoshua." He was then the leader of the Yidden. This is after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. "We know that Yehoshua bin Nun is the leader of the Yidden, and we would like to speak to him because we would like you to be our friends. We come from a faraway place." Now listen to me very carefully. Hashem said that the Yidden should not make shalom to be friends with anybody in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan. Because all of these goyim, Hashem said, you have to kill out and get rid of them from Eretz Yisrael. Don't make friends with them. Now, Hashem said the goyim that were in Eretz Canaan, don't make friends with them. But what about from another place? Are the Yidden allowed to make friends with them? They're allowed to make shalom with them. But not from Eretz Canaan. None of those goyim, they're not allowed to make friends with them. The Givonim knew this, so that's why they made up this lie. They said, "Look, we come from a very faraway place. Is that true or is that not true?" No, not true. They did not say where they came from, that they came from Eretz Canaan. They said we came from another place. "And we have heard that you, Yidden, went out of Mitzrayim, and you, Yidden, have a very great Hashem. We would like to make friends with you, to make shalom with you." And Yeshua said, "Okay, we'll be your friends." But the Givonim said, "Look, it's like this. We will not make any trouble for you, and we will help you if you need our help. But we would like the same promise from you. Don't make any trouble for us, and if we need your help, you will help us, and then we'll be really good friends. And we'll write it down, and we'll make it to be a special promise between us and you." Now Yeshua and the other Yidden, they said, "Why not? Why not to do this?" And they did it. And the Givonim took the piece of paper that they wrote out, the friendship paper, and they took it back to their place. But instead of course, going far, far away, they went back to Givon, back in Eretz Canaan, and they kept that paper in a special box in case they're ever going to need it. Do you understand? Do you understand what they just did? Okay, you'll see more as we go on. Finally, it came, Kenalach, after the 40 years in the Midbar, the Yidden now are going to fight the Goyim of Eretz Canaan. And the Yidden are going in with Yehoshua into Eretz Canaan, and they're fighting the Goyim, and they're throwing the Goyim out of their cities and taking over Eretz Canaan to make it Eretz Israel, like Hashem said. And now they come to Givon. And they said, "Okay, now we're going to Givon to fight the Goyim of Givon." But before they even started the fight, the Givonim came, and they took out that box, that piece of paper, And he held it up. Look, you made friends with us. You're not going to do anything to us. You promised. You're not going to touch us, remember? Now, the Yidden saw, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, we remember you. You're the Givonim. But wait a minute. You said you're from a faraway place. You're not from Eretz Canaan, you said. Well, not exactly. We really are. But we were afraid. We were afraid that you're going to hurt us. And if we run away, we're afraid that all of our neighbors are going to hurt us. So we had to do this trick in order that you shouldn't hurt us. The Yidden said, and the Yidden, they saw that they were tricked, but they were thinking what to do. That these Givonim, they only wanted to make shalom, they didn't want to make trouble. But on the other hand, it was a trick. The Yidden were a little upset. But Kenelach, that day that the Yidden came to Givon, there was also goyim from other towns and other cities around, and they saw what happened. They saw that the Givonim had made shalom with the Yidden. Oh, they didn't like this. Our kings and our cities say we should fight the Yidden. Nobody's allowed to make shalom with the Yidden. And the Givonim are scaredy cats. That's why they make shalom with the Yidden. And they ran home and they told their kings, because there was 31 kings in Eretz Canaan, like small kings over cities. They told the kings of Eretz Canaan and the cities around Givon, the Givonim, the scaredy cats, they made a trick with the Yidden, they made shalom. And they don't want the Yidden to start up with them. Aha, scaredy cats. And the other king said, ah, those Givonim, they did against what we said. We told them not to do that. Five of the cities near Givon, the kings got together and made a meeting. And they were very angry at the Givonim. And they said, those five kings, we're going to make our armies together, and we're going to ride into Givon, and we'll punish the people of Givon. You listening? Now, that's the five kings. These are not the same five kings in the story of Avram, in the Chumash, of the five kings and the four kings. This is a different five kings. These five kings, they made big armies out of their five armies. They made one big army. And it was on an Erev Shabbos. On an Erev Shabbos, they started riding to Givon, and they started coming down the mountains to Givon to fight the Givonim. All of a sudden, the Givonim woke up in that morning, and they see five big armies that were all joined to be one army are riding towards them to fight. The Givonim only had a little army. What are they going to do? They remembered, hey, the Yidden promised that if we're in trouble, they're going to help us. Right? So we'll call the Yidden, and the Yidden will come to help us to fight. They rode very, very fast into the Midbar. No, I'm sorry. They rode very fast to where the Yidden were with Yeshua. And they said, hey, there's five kings coming from different cities around us to punish us for making shalom with you. We need your help. Please, Yeshua, we need you to make an army to help us. Now, Yeshua, even though he was tricked into this, he said he's going to keep his promise because, after all, it was for the sake of shalom. And they made an army of Yidden to go fighting with the Givonim against the five kings that were coming. And a lot of the soldiers said, but Yeshua, it's Erev Shabbos. Tonight is Shabbos. What are we going to do to get ready for Shabbos? Who knows if we'll be home on time? Yeshua says, look, we're doing the right thing. If we're doing the right thing, Hashem helps. Let's go and help the Givonim and leave the rest up to Hashem. And the wives and the little kinalach said goodbye to their tatis who are going to go out and fight in the army. Tati, we hope you're home for Kiddush. We hope you're home for Shabbos. Tati says, I'll try. I don't know how long the fight is going to take. Because sometimes a fight takes days. And kinalach, they went riding out. They went riding out, kinalach, with the Givonim. And they start to fight the five kings and their armies. And they're fighting the whole day. And the five kings, they knew that Shabbos is coming. They knew that the Yidden keep Shabbos Friday night. When the sun goes down, it's Shabbos. And the five kings said, pretty soon the Jews will go home because they have to go get ready for Shabbos. And they have to go and daven lechunaranan lechadaydi and all of those things, and they have to eat the lecha mishnah, and they have to make the kiddush and everything, and they have to go have their chicken soup. Well, the yidden are going to go home, and the givinim will be left by themselves, and we'll get the givinim. Oh boy, let's just take our time, and when it comes sundown, no Jews will be here. They're going to be back for Shabbos. And then we'll kill and punish all the Givaydim. Kinelach, the Jewish soldiers also didn't know what to do. Shabbos is coming. Yeshua said, go on helping the Givaydim and go on fighting and leave the rest to Hashem. The sun was going down slowly. It was 4 o'clock. It was 5 o'clock. Let's say around 6 o'clock is going to be Shabbos. It's 5:30, and they're still in the middle of the fight. And the five kings, the five armies, they say, pretty soon they're going to be leaving. Only half an hour to Shabbos. And Kinelach, another hour went by. And as this hour went by, the Yidden were really winning the fight. And the five kings and their armies kept looking in the sky at the sun, and it was just standing right in the sky. It had not gone down anymore, and it was already 6 o'clock. Hey, wait a minute! The calendar says 6 o'clock is Shabbos. Why didn't the sun go down yet? Another hour went by, 7 o'clock, and the Yidden are beating those goyim, and they're winning the fight, and they're chasing the goyim away. And it's 8 o'clock, and it's 9 o'clock. The sun is still in the sky. It did not go down yet. 10 o'clock, and 11 o'clock, and 12 o'clock. And the hours went by. The sun did not move. And the whole time, the Yidden are winning more and more and helping the Givinim. And the five kings and the armies, they kept looking in the sky, scratching their heads. Why isn't the sun moving? Why is it stuck in the sky like that? Why isn't it Shabbos yet for the Yidden? Why don't they go home already? They have to get ready for Shabbos. They keep fighting us. Until it came 2 o'clock in the morning, and 4 o'clock in the morning, and 5 o'clock in the morning, and the Yidden are beating those goyim and chasing them away and scaring them and chasing them down the road. And they're running home. And Kinelach, it came the next day, the whole next day went by until the Yidden won the whole fight. And again, when he went home, and all the five kings and their armies, they were either finished off or they were hiding in their houses under their beds already. They're scared, and they promised they won't do anything to the Givinim. And they were crying, and they were screaming, they were afraid of the Yidden and the Givinim. And finally, the next day, the fight was won. The Yidden went home. What do I mean the next day? The whole day was Friday. That whole long day was the whole Erev Shabbos because the sun didn't go down. Finally, the Yidden went home. They got ready for Shabbos. Their families had been waiting for them. Then the sun went down. And just in time that they should be in shul for Kabbalah Shabbos or maybe even Mincha, they were in shul on time and the sun went down and the Yidden had a good Shabbos. Now, you understand now the picture of the clock. Because the kings are wondering, why is it late and the sun didn't go down? Do you understand why they're pointing to the sun? Who is the tzaddik holding the Tzivos Hashem army flag? Yeshua. And he's holding a siddur because the Yidden were davening to Hashem the whole time to help them, that they should win the fight and not chas shalom go into Shabbos. And so, of course, now we understand that picture. I want you to listen to this very interesting thing about the story that I just told you. And we will talk about it together. Because everything is Hashkacha Pratis, especially if it's in the Torah. I mean, everything that happens in the world happens for a reason from Hashem. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, even if a leaf blows from one side of the street to the other and turns over a few times. This is not just an accident or something that just happened for nothing. It's something happening from Hashem that is Hashkacha Pratis, and Hashem is doing it for a reason. And especially something in the Torah, like the story we just heard, the sun stood still for 24 hours on Erev Shabbos until the Yidden were done doing what they have to do, and then it became Shabbos. This happened. This story that I told you about Yeshua and the sun standing still. Do you know which day this happened? Gimel Tammuz. The day that the sun stood still was Gimel Tammuz. Now, does anybody know something that happened just last Gimel Tammuz? The same day? What happened on last Gimel Tammuz?
The Rebbe passed away.
The Rebbe passed away. Such a sad, sad thing happened. Now, Kinalach, I heard from, or in the name of a special chassid, and I want to tell you what he said. And I want, you know, let's think about it, because it's a very interesting idea. You're allowed to say an idea if it's a true idea from the Torah. Okay? Even though maybe he's just saying it himself. But as we see, it's a Torah idea. So we're allowed to learn from it and think about it, and we're allowed to come closer to Hashem from that idea. What is the connection of the sun standing still on that day to the Rebbe passing away? Now listen to this. At Tzaddik, the Rebbe was a halik at Tzaddik. At Tzaddik is like the sun, shining and halik and giving light to everyone and helping people. Now, the usual way throughout all of the generations and all of the time, wherever Yidden were and whenever time, we had a leader. We had a tzaddik who was the leader of the people or the Rebbe of the people. He was like the sun shining in his time. Without him, it's darkness. Who is the one who teaches everybody and shows them what to do? The tzaddik. He's like the sun. He lights up his time, and everybody comes to him to find out how to live as a yid. And these tzaddikim lived, and yes, they would pass away. But it says, the sun sets, and then the sun rises. Which means, if one tzaddik passes away, Hashem made sure there was another tzaddik coming to take over his place. The Alter Rebbe passed away, but the Mittler Rebbe took over his place. The Mittler Rebbe passed away, the Tzemach Tzedek took over his place. The Tzemach Tzedek passed away, the Rebbe Marash took over his place. The Tzemach Tzedek passed away, you had the Rebbe Marash, who was filling his place. It's called a Mamali Makoy. He takes over. The Rebbe Marash passed away. The Rebbe Rashab took over. The Rebbe Rashab passed away. The Friedeke Rebbe took over. The Friedeke Rebbe passed away. And the Rebbe was Rebbe for all of those years. Now, Kenalach, the Rebbe passed away. And we see there is no other Rebbe. Nobody took the Rebbe's place. Nobody took the Rebbe's place. Nobody can take the Rebbe's place. The Rebbe was our Rebbe, and nobody can take his place. So what do we do? And this chassid said like this. The Rebbe passed away on Gimel Tammuz. Not only that, when the Rebbe was in the hospital, the doctor said he could have passed away before, the way the Rebbe was. It was like the Rebbe was waiting. It was like a miracle that he was still alive. Like he waited until Gimel Tammuz, and he chose that day to pass away. And we see that Gimel Tammuz is the day the sun stood still in the sky. It wasn't just like a regular day. It was like a special day that the sun stood still. So the Chassid said like this, even though the Rebbe passed away, the sun did not set. This is not like another tzaddik passing away, that the sun set and another sun rises afterwards. The Rebbe passed away, but the Rebbe is still our Rebbe, just like the sun is there. Just like the Rebbe is still there. Just like the Rebbe didn't pass away. In other words, the Rebbe is still our Rebbe. He's still helping us. He's still doing all the things that he was doing as the Rebbe. The sun is standing still. It did not set. Yes, the Rebbe did pass away. The Rebbe is not here in a body in the world. But the koyach of the Rebbe, the neshama of the Rebbe, is with everybody, just like the Rebbe was here. Or even more so, like it says in Tanya. The Rebbe is here with us. Now, ken halach. As we know, this story happened on an Erev Shabbos. What is Shabbos? The little Shabbos is, of course, Shabbos. It's a little taste of Olam Haba. And then there's the big Shabbos, when Mashiach comes. That's the big Shabbos. That's going to be the big, beautiful time. That's like a big, big Shabbos. This story happened right before the Shabbos. Now, that's Erev Shabbos. We are now in the last little bit of the Erev Shabbos. In other words, the time right before Mashiach comes. Then Mashiach will come. We see just in that time, like the Rebbe said, Ot Ot Kumt Mashiach. Mashiach is coming very, very soon. We're just like in that story, in that time, right before. It's the last few moments right before the Shabbos. And Mashiach will come, just like that. Mashiach will come. And the whole time, in the Erev Shabbos, before Mashiach is coming, the sun is still there. The Rebbe is still there with us. He's our Rebbe till Mashiach comes. Okay. This is a Hasidish Maaseh. I'll explain that, Bli Neder. A Yid was traveling from Eretz Israel to New York on a plane, El Al. So mostly everyone was Jewish. 450 people on the plane, gigantic plane. The Yid gets off the plane, and like everybody else, they want to get their luggage, their suitcases. So they go downstairs to the baggage claim area where you go to get your suitcases after you fly in the plane. And what they do is, the workers outside, they bring all the suitcases off of the plane and they put it on a moving, like a big belt, a conveyor belt, a thing that moves. And all the suitcases they put on this moving thing from near the plane, and it goes through the building, and the people are waiting in this separate big room, and the moving thing, the moving belt, comes through like a doorway with these kind of like rubber plastic things. You know, it's like a doorway that, it's not a door there. It's like pieces of metal, I mean pieces of rubber. It's like pieces of rubber, and each suitcase that comes out, it goes past the rubber. The rubber sort of opens like a little curtain. And then it goes on a different moving belt around. And all the people are standing around there. And when their suitcase comes by them, they schlep it off and they get it. And the suitcases move all around. But they're all coming through this one like a doorway that's covered by this sort of black rubber thing that sort of moves aside each time something comes out. Okay. The 450 people are all standing there waiting for their bags. And they're all looking at this little opening where the suitcases are coming through. And they're waiting. All of a sudden, a few suitcases, one by one, come through. And everybody's looking closely. Is that mine? Is that mine? And when it comes through that little doorway, it sort of slides down onto the other moving thing, and whosoever suitcase it is, so they'll wait where they are, or they'll go walking over, and it's kind of crowded, they can't really walk so far, because there's other people standing there, and they wait till it comes. So a few suitcases came through. Now, for 450 people, you're going to have probably 800 or 900 or 1,000 suitcases coming through. So, you know, they all want to get their suitcases and leave. A few pieces come through, and then all of a sudden, everything stops. All the moving belts, the moving conveyor belts, these moving things, all of a sudden, everything stops. Nothing is going, nothing is working. And the people are just standing there waiting. And everyone is just looking at that doorway, that little opening way, where the suitcases come out, and they're just waiting for more suitcases to come out.